Good evening, folks. Welcome to Till Death Do Us Part. We'll be starting this first session entitled Let's Stay Together. I'm Clarence Miles. My wife is Marilyn Miles. We hope that you will enjoy what we're trying to teach and project today.
And as he said, this is Death Do Us Part. It is a podcast that is dedicated to restoring marriages and reigniting hope. So we'd like for you to join us on this transformative journey where we explore stories of resilience, share expert insights, and provide practical tips to mend the bonds that connects us. Whether you're navigating through challenges or simply seeking inspiration, our heartfelt conversations will guide you toward a path of healing, understanding, and rediscovery. Let me give you my background. Again, I'm Marilyn Miles. I'm the principal of Greater Hope Christian Academy. I am the CEO of Greater Hope Ministries. Miles and I have been married for over 25 years. It hasn't always been easy, but we're still together. And we are determined to stay together till death do us part. Miles, you want to tell them a little about yourself?
I am a construction engineer. I have a store where I sell furniture, clothing, building material. I assist my wife in upkeep of her facilities and the upkeep of her facilities and running her business and her school and church. We are going to try to go through a few things today. One of the things I want to talk about is finances. We can start out with talking about finances. Now, a lot of you would think that when money is low, that causes a lot of problems. Well, it does. But at the same time, rich people divorce too. So we can't say that money solves all problems. If you talk to rich folks, they will tell you that it does not. So if you going to argue about not having enough, then you need to look in another direction, because people have millions of dollars and have more disagreements than those that only have a few. That's one issue. Another issue would be cheating. Okay, well, cheating's a terrible thing. But at the same time, people work their way through it. There's some marriages where there's some cheating going on, and it might be running smoother than a marriage where there's no cheating going on. All I'm trying to say is that you have to work your way through it. No matter what happens, you have to work it out somehow. Because that's what you said when you got married in front of the preacher. You said you'd work it out.
Absolutely. You made a covenant, a vow. It's funny, in our society, people just do not have a problem with signing their name to things and making a vow and not keeping that vow. You fill out a credit card for a credit card. There's people who fill out for a credit card, sign their names, and they don't keep their vow. I will pay. If I use this, I will pay. So it is with marriage. We make that vow till death do us part. And as soon as there is an issue that comes up, then we address that issue by saying, it's over. I can't deal with it. I don't want to deal with this person anymore. I don't love the person anymore. And in reality, I think one of the things we will be talking about is before marriage, there needs to be a level of counseling.
Sure.
Don't you agree?
Sure.
And I think, you know, as a counselor, I have my doctorate degree in Christian education, but I also am a certified counselor, Christian counselor. And as a counselor, I just believe that we throw in the towels too quickly instead of getting help when we need help. So we'll be talking about that too. How to begin the marriage, or once you're in the marriage, now what, when problems come up? And it's okay to seek counsel when things occur. Am I correct?
That's correct.
That third party, mm-hmm. that party that could see from both sides. Because I don't know about you, Miles, but every time I get in a disagreement with you, you and I disagree, I'm always right. Mm-hmm. Right? How about you?
Yeah, well, I used to, if you attack me, I always would go to think about what you did.
Right.
What about you?
Right.
What about you? But that's childish. I mean, at some point you got to get past that. You
know? Right.
One other thing is that if you got a husband home, then you shouldn't be chit-chatting on the phone all day long with your single girlfriends. Your single girlfriends are going to keep you on the phone all the time and always have something to do because they don't have nobody. And they're going to use you to fill that hole. Another thing with the men, I found out I'm 70 years old. And I look at the marriages that where the men don't have no buddies hanging around all the time. That's a bad thing, to have men around your wife all the time. It's looking for trouble, as it is vice versa with wives having girlfriends hanging around your husband all the time. There was a incident where someone I knew that was very dear to me told her girlfriend all her business, and she was cheating on her husband, and she told her girlfriend everything that she does. So what her girlfriend did, her girlfriend told her husband everything she did and took him. And now they married.
Now, let me ask you a question, Miles, because we sort of got off.
I
understand. Sure, different things that we're going to talk about. I agree. But I want to go back to the point where a man is right in his own eyes, mm-hmm. and the importance of counseling. Because every time I'm in an argument or a disagreement with anybody, whether it's you or some business dealing, I feel like I am always right. Well, am I correct?
Well, we are selfish by nature, all of us. But, and if you got to be, if I have to be right all the time, or if I defend my wrong, if you show me where I am wrong, and I go straight to defense, that's a selfish act.
I get it. But my point is that you need counseling to discern that sometimes.
No, it doesn't.
Because if an issue occur, and you believe you're right, and I believe I'm right, then we need a third party, don't you think? Sometimes in counseling, you need that third party.
Sure.
To come in and try to make sense out of both sides, especially if you're adamant about it.
I had a saying, youth and wisdom seldom meet. In other words, it takes some time to know how to respond, or it takes some time to learn how to take a blow,
right?
Comfortably, it hit me in my stomach and my gut, but I got to smile while I'm hurting.
Right,
that takes work.
Sure, and as we go through these couple of weeks of podcasts, we're going to share our background. We're going to share our ups, our downs, some things we've been through, and what makes us work, what makes this marriage work and other marriages work that we have been a part of or counseled. I noticed one of our friends whom we counseled was just giving her husband Kudos for being a good father, a good friend. And all I can do is be grateful, because you see where they were and you see where they are now. And one of the things people don't understand is that marriage is not a game. Marriage is a commitment. It's a vow. And we say in that vow, to death do us part. Miles, in your opinion, why do people get married?
Well, it's supposed to. Supposedly because they love each other.
Let me give my testimony of why I married you. And can we do that? Okay. You were working on a building and I was in the auditorium doing a Thanksgiving program with the students, and you were looking down from the balcony of this building, correct? Mm-hmm. And when you looked down at me, what did you say? You said, "That's my wife," right? And so you introduced yourself. You asked me if you could take me to Atlantic City. I said, "This dude is crazy, asking me, a single woman." Anyway, I was engaged at the time anyway. So you asked me, we didn't even know each other, and you asked me to marry. And we talked on the phone. You were my friend. I was introducing you to several of my girlfriends, and a couple of my girlfriends fell for you. I mean, really deeply. And I knew that I loved you as a person and as a friend. We had established a friendship where we were so close, you could spend the night over my house as a single woman. And we just had a friendship like that, right? But in the recesses of your heart, you were saying, "I want this woman as my wife." But I was introducing you to some pretty girls, some attractive girls, some nice, godly women. And so you had a good relationship, in particular, with one, and it was going somewhere. But one day, you counseled me. I was going through with my fiance, and you counseled me with such wisdom. That is the day that I began to love you, and I could see you as my husband, because you counseled me, and I was lost, and you gave me such wise counsel. No one has ever counseled me, and as a counselor, I knew your wisdom and greatness. And I knew that moment, I knew that I did not want to live my life without you. I knew that if you were dating this other woman, I would not, and you all became very close, I would not have access to you like I had that night. And for me to have access to that kind of wisdom, I knew that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with you. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And I think that is what's missing in the why. The why is missing in many marriages. Why did I marry you? Why? And can I live without it? I don't want to live this life without your wisdom, because when I go through some any type of difficulty, you are always giving me the wisdom that I need. And if I didn't have access to that, I wouldn't be happy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense. You know, when you're like past 60 and 70, sex don't keep you together anymore. You know, you really get to know each other.
Yeah.
When you get around 70 years old, because you don't have that bedroom is not your foundation anymore. So you're dealing with what you got left, and there should be a lot left over.
Yeah.
But most of the time it's not. In a lot of cases, the husband become a sugar daddy and the wife be neglected and respond in some negative fashions in some cases. But the pleasure that I'm having is that we deal with each other intellectually, and we treasure that.
Yeah.
That is some of the advantages of getting old. because if we were 25, we wouldn't even know each other.
You crazy.
What's your name?
He has a sense of humor. Yeah, right. You know, it's not all about, I do, I get it. And that's what made me tell all my girlfriends, I'm sorry, you guys. I didn't mean to introduce you to him. I thought that I wanted something else until your wisdom, that intellect, began to minister to me. And I knew that I wanted that kind of thinking in my life forever. Mm-hmm. You know, and so we will be discussing issues. We will be discussing issues like that. I think it's going to be good because you had a mother and a father that stayed together, mm-hmm. correct? Mm-hmm. I had a mother and father who parted.
Grandmother and grandfather stayed together.
You had a grandfather.
50 years.
Right. And the marriages in your family last. And you were dating a woman who was 15 years older than you, and you were in love with her. You all broke up, and that's when you saw me. But you knew, because she had been married how many times?
Three times.
Three times. You knew as much as you loved her, you weren't going to marry her, because you always said you weren't going to be her fourth husband, you know? And so, and we talk about things like that. Miles share his thoughts. I share mine. We don't get angry. We laugh at the things we've been through. We laugh at the journey him and other women have taken. He laughs at my journey. And we just have fun in our relationship because we inspire one another. Would you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Do I inspire you?
Sure.
What do I inspire you to do? Yeah. I told you. He has a sense of humor. He says, get the toolbox. Well, yeah, I encourage him to make money, absolutely, and to build and to grow and grow his business. And absolutely, I do that. And when you work together as partners, it is awesome. We are partners. My husband says that I am. What do you say?
He is what the Creator assigned me to do. And that's not a foundation for marriage. I don't know what is.
Okay. And I believe that because I believe that you are my assignment. And God placed me on earth to be your partner, to do this earth thing together till death do us part.
I believe with patience and wisdom that the Creator will show you who is for you.
Yeah.
So many people just get emotionally involved without even knowing that whether that is for you or not, because in a lot of cases people know that that's not the right person. I mean, it's obvious that it's not who you're supposed to be with, but you go forward anyway and expect good results. I mean, it's not every case, but there's a lot of couples that they know that they're not supposed to be together. I mean, they can't get along for 5 minutes. They got nothing in common, and they're gonna base the relationship on I don't know, a song and a dance.
Yeah, sexual fantasies, yeah. And things like that.
And it's a shame because the children's got to suffer when it doesn't work. It used to be a time where children could keep people together, whether they were compatible or not, but those days are gone.
That's the truth. You have mommy week, daddy week. Mommy week, daddy week.
And they live in the same house and couldn't get along until they raised their children. People used to do that.
Yeah.
You're going to stay together until the kids are grown. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, that's one of the most unselfish acts that I know, is that you don't like this person and she don't like you. And you're not in love, but you're going to stay together to raise what you produce. I think that's a beautiful thing. And then hopefully in time, they will learn to love each other.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
But people are not, they don't want to sacrifice anymore. That's a very important part of a relationship, is sacrifice. I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it for you because I love you and it's the right thing to do. Or I don't love you and it's the right thing to do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just right.
Right.
Let's just do it because it's right. And then hopefully it's at some point we'll pray to God that we can develop some feelings for one another where we are both happy together.
I think one of the things we have to realize is that anybody can fall in love. Mm-hmm. Fall in love. Falling in love is fake to me. Mm-hmm. That's the fakest thing in the world, to fall in love. Mm-hmm. You know, that's crazy.
It's defined in so many ways.
Yeah, it falling in love is infatuation. It's like that young man, what he did to the woman in Bucks County recently. It's terrible, but that's because he was infatuated. He was in love. So yes, that was on the news. Emotionally, he was out of control.
Most,
I love you so much, I'm going to kill you.
Most of us have been there, but we just never experienced it because it never presented itself. But the majority of people that are emotionally, heavily emotionally involved have a tendency to murder.
Yeah.
To kill.
Yeah.
And that's something that the kids should be taught. Because it's very difficult to know how to respond in a highly emotional situation.
I agree.
It's difficult.
I agree. You know? Yeah.
And then they're young people. They don't know how to respond to these heavy.
And that's what happened. They were feelings, emotions, and they were high school. She's a high school student. He's about 21, you know, 19. 2021. But this is what I wanted to say. And I wanted to say that the why is so important. The why. Why are you getting married? Why is this man or woman the one you want to commit to till death do you part? What is it about them that you love and are committed to? Mm-hmm. I remember one of our greatest incidents that we had. When you came back home, you said, I got off the plane and I realized that there was no one I had to come home to. And I knew that I wanted to save my marriage. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Like it was yesterday.
Really? Mm-hmm. How did you feel at that time? You don't have to tell the story now.
No, I just,
like tell me how.
I only had one room. You know, I mean, I could have went in different directions, but there was only one right room. There was only one right way to go.
Right.
But I don't know. I used to say all roads lead to destiny. That you're going to end up in your destiny no matter what. And I don't know if that's true.
No, I don't think that's true.
Divine destiny.
We all have a will, and as long as our will is involved, and you will to go in the direction you choose, you will go in that direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you made a commitment. You said something in your heart. Did you feel lonely? Did you feel sick?
How does anybody know, really? How does anybody know that they want to spend the rest of their life with somebody that they ain't spent but about a year with, or 2 years? 2 years. 2 years cannot determine that you want to stay together until one of you die. It has to be determined by something else. Has to be. There's no way that I know that I want to spend 60 years with you and only knowing you for one.
Okay, so I
I say that to say that it does not have to work unless you know your destiny and your assignment.
Okay.
You get
okay.
It?
So
if you don't know that, then you're just depending on a decision that you make.
Okay, good. So what you're saying is there must be a why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I got you. High five. I got you. There must be a why.
So, and you can evaluate and figure that out by certain doors that you go through. You can begin to evaluate. Door number one
right.
is a disaster. Door number two is a disaster. Door number three is difficult. Door number four is nothing there. Door number five,
That's good. That's good.
Destiny.
Yeah. And that's what it'll take. That's what it'll take. It's going to take you coming to grips with what you want. Now, both of us were tired of each other, but somehow, some way, something happened where that same feeling I got when you were counseling me that day was restored. And that same woman that you looked at from the balcony, that was restored. So it can be until death do us part. But you have to want to make it work. Both people have to want to make it work. Okay, Miles. We're nearing the end of our very first podcast. Tell me, what do you think has kept our marriage for the last 29 years?
Well, being a believing man and a God-fearing man, I would have to say that prayers and God, I have nothing else to put to the table. I couldn't do it alone. It had to be some divine intervention for us.
Right.
Being that we both believe.
Right.
And we both pray. And we don't throw the towel in when all goes wrong.
Right.
We work it out.
Sure, sure.
And we get help working it out.
That's right. Yeah.
If you don't have no help to work it out, then you need to choose how you're going to work it out.
Right.
So that's all I have is my studying of scriptures. The scriptures has taught me that my wisdom won't do it. I go outside of my own wisdom and knowledge and get answers from the Supreme.
Amen.
And without that, I really don't know how anything works out.
Okay.
So I don't mean to get religious.
Right.
But as a believer, I don't have anything else.
Well, I remember when you told me, you said, when you're driving a Ford, you go to a Ford deal.
Mm-hmm.
When you're driving a Mercedes, you go to a Mercedes-Benz dealer. You don't go to a Mercedes-Benz dealer to fix a Ford. And you don't go to a Ford dealer to fix a Mercedes. You go to the one that created the car,
mm-hmm.
who built the car.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to the one who created you to get help in time of need.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you what I believe that assisted me. I remember one time we were going through a very difficult time. It was an ugly period in our marriage. And you you said to me, here's your wisdom again. You said to me, I want to confess some things to you, but I don't want to confess it to my wife. I need to confess it to my friend. Can I get my friend or my sister sitting in front of me? If so, I can confess it, but I don't want my wife. And that day, you took my wife's shoes off and you put on my friend's shoe. That has been how we've dealt with each other since then. And sometimes I have to take off the wife hat to listen to you and put on the friend hat. And when I listen to my friend, I hear the heart of my friend. When I put on the wife hat, I get silly. I get emotional. I get simple. But when I put on my friend hat, I can understand you better. And when you taught me that, that day when we talked, and that thing hurt me. And I then told you to put on a friend shoe. I did it, you know, I needed my friend. And you put down a husband and you became my friend. And you listened to me and we resolved those issues. We were healed immediately. And that is what the one who created us did. He gave you the wisdom to separate friend from wife, wife from friend. And that is what kept my part of my bargain in these 29 years. Well, Miles, that's the end of the podcast, our first podcast.
Amen.
Amen. You did a good job, dude. What about me?
Great.
Thank you.
It's been nice.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stay tuned for our next Till Death Do Us Part podcast. At that time, we're going to talk about, is cheating a deal breaker? What do you say about that, Miles?
I'm so in love with you.
Yeah, right. We're going to be honest. We are telling the truth. And we're going to tell you how we overcame cheating in a relationship. It does not have to end. It really doesn't. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, folks.
And we hope that you enjoy
Death Do Us Part.
Death Do Us Part.